If you open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 4, we're going to finish up a couple verses and we'll kind of go from there. Again, we're going to try to skim over a little bit and give you a summary and hit the high points because I think the Lord has some good thoughts for us and good lessons that we can learn. So with that in mind, let's open the Bibles to Exodus chapter 4, verse 27 through 31. The Bible says, "And the Lord said to Aaron, 'Go into the wilderness to meet Moses.' And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people." Verse 31. "And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped." So this morning, I hope you realize and learn from the previous chapters in Exodus that, one, God cares about his people. God has a plan for his people. Not only that, though, to fulfill God's plan, God had chosen one man for this particular job. And now the man's ready, and we know this morning that Moses was the man that God had called, and Moses obviously was a very important part of his plan, and God started it. And thankfully, God performed special signs to convince Moses, and Moses obeyed God's voice. And he made the arrangements to go back to Egypt to lead Israel out. And of course, we know Moses couldn't do this alone. God doesn't expect us to do God's work alone. We can't. You know, we can't fulfill things God has for us as a church by ourselves. And so, and Moses was no different. Well, God has different people to help Moses perform God's plan. And while Moses was convinced, tonight we'll look at some other characters that in God's plans and how they respond. The first character God sends is Moses' brother Aaron. And remember, God told Moses that he is not alone. In fact, God is specific about telling Moses that Aaron is going to be his spokesperson. Again, that was one of Moses' hesitation. He didn't feel comfortable trying to talk. Yet God always had a plan, and that goes beyond our limitations. And God always knows our fears, and he knows that his power goes beyond that. And so verse 27 is evidence of this. It says, "The Lord said to Aaron, 'Go into the wilderness to meet Moses.' And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him." So obviously, the team is called by God in verse 27. God always prepares his people for a service. We don't have to do this alone. And I'm sure this reunion was obviously pretty special. I mean, there was probably about 40 years or so since they had seen each other. And it doesn't tell us that Aaron argued or that he hesitated. He just went to meet Moses. And so they come together and Moses communicates his testimony to his brother. Verse 28 tells us that Moses doesn't hold anything back. It says Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded. He shared God's word with Aaron. Plus, Moses told Aaron about the signs. I mean, this was a first, and a side note real quick, but this is the first step of faith. All right? Moses was told by God that, hey, I'm going to send Aaron, and he's going to move and come and help you. He's going to be your assistant. He's going to be my spokesperson. Well, in his service for God, Moses heard the promises. He heard the assurances from God, and he saw the confidence. No doubt that's why he made arrangements. But here in verse 27 and 28, this is the first the realization that God is faithful. See, God is going to fulfill his word and his promise one step at a time. You see, when we think about it, faith is not a big jump. All right, sometimes we think about it. Sometimes we think, oh, it has to be a huge wide gap from one end of the other to the next step. No. Simple faith is one step at a time. That's what faith is. And that's all God wants. And here Moses realized and saw it in person that God doesn't lie. And so I can imagine Moses is pretty excited. And so we're not only excited about that, that, oh, God fulfilled this one step. Oh, God said this is going to happen. Oh, and then it happened. So he's excited. And so he tells Aaron about the things. He tells Aaron about the signs. And no doubt he probably, excuse me, he probably threw down his rod maybe. He put his hand in his jacket. Whatever the case, Moses shared what God did and what God told him about the future. But why do you think Moses did this? I think Moses wanted to make sure Aaron was confident. And again, this confidence was not in himself or Moses. Moses knew that he was limited. So the confidence was supposed to be in God. Besides, God's word is supposed to give us hope. And it can give us hope if we respond in the right way. Thankfully, Aaron responded in the right way. And with that said, Aaron and Moses don't stop there. Verse 29 tells us, this team gathers the leaders of Israel together. It says, and Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. You see, they did this because the leaders, obviously, were the decision makers. And Moses was new to the scene, and he obviously hadn't lived in Israel for a long time. So Moses and Aaron wanted them to see what God did and to convince him. Because if you convince the leaders, more likely the others will follow. And it'll fall down to all the people of Israel. They will likely be more willing to follow. And verse 30 gives us some preaching that Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And here the team shared the things of God with them. After all, God doesn't want us to hide the things from what God has done for us. He wants us to be busy. He wants us to spread the testimony of what he did. And again, God's word and the works that God has performed should give us hope. And it will give us hope if we respond the right way. See, Moses did the signs that God did to him. He reenacted it again for these people. Moses wasn't holding anything back. Moses had God's plan, and God shared the plan with him, so therefore he is sharing it with others. And verse 31 tells us the people's response. Pretty quickly they heard the truth and says, the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. People listened to the signs. You know, he performed it. And as a result, when they saw what Moses' testimony was, they were convinced. They believed. The truth gives hope to those in need. And this man, Moses, was an answer to Israel's prayer. God had officially looked down on Israel's problem. And even though they were experiencing trials, this man named Moses gives Israel hope. Not a hope in man, but again, the hope in the God of the man. And so Israel had the right response, and this gave them a hope, plus to no doubt encouraged Moses. He was ready to go. I mean, he was on fire. This was Israel's leader. So chapter 5 tells us that Moses and Aaron are ready to go. They go to the man in charge, and this obviously of Egypt, and they go to the Pharaoh, and this was always God's plan for Moses. Right from the get-go, Moses knew that he was supposed to go to see the king of Egypt. God never hid his mission from Moses. God never hides his word from his people. God wants us to share the truth with the world. And sadly, though, the world may not respond the same way as his people. I know that's a newsflash and surprises some people, but they won't. And of course, it shouldn't come as a surprise to us. Chapter 5 gives us the wrong response. And this starts with Pharaoh. You see, sometimes the wrong response brings hurt into our lives. And unfortunately, this is seen with Pharaoh. However, this doesn't throw God off at all. Yet sometimes we let the wrong response get us off track. And I believe we can learn a few things tonight. With that said, let's see what God says. Verse 1 sets the stage for the meeting between Moses, Aaron, and Pharaoh. Moses doesn't waste any time. He says, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. You know, he doesn't hold back. He says, Mr. Pharaoh, God has a message. God wants his people to go to the wilderness for a feast. And what that says, Pharaoh's response shows us that he didn't realize the power behind this request. In fact, verse 2 tells us that he pretty much mocks Moses. He says, And the Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And so so he says, "Who is this Lord? Who does he think he is? Why should I listen to this God?" Looking back, I think Pharaoh probably should have and would have changed his tone if he knew, yet Pharaoh was pretty stubborn with his attitude toward God and toward Moses. Yet Moses tried to change his mind. In verse 3, they're like, "Hey, this is from God. All he wants us to do is do one thing, to sacrifice to our God." After all, they've lived so many years in Egypt and saw the idol worship and the wrong way to worship God, wrong way to worship, period. They weren't worshiping God, the true God, but they saw wrong ways to worship. And so they simply wanted to go to try it the right way. Now, I like how the end of verse 3 kind of gives us a motivation behind the request. Israel just wants to obey God. Why? "Lest he fall upon us with a pestilence or with a sword." They knew judgment is coming with disobedience. And of course, Pharaoh sees this as an excuse to get out of work. And Pharaoh's mentality was focused on himself and Egypt's convenience. But little did he know what kind of inconvenience this stubbornness would really cause. And Pharaoh's response to God's words caused some problems for Israel. In the next few verses, it gives us the plan to get Israel to work harder. I mean, since Israel, after all, wants to take a vacation, let's make them work a little harder. And the changes are pretty simple to us, but construction was a little bit different back in those days. And Pharaoh says in verse 7 and 8 and 9, it says, "You shall no more give the people straw to make brick. As heretofore, let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tail of the bricks, which they did make heretofore, you shall lay upon them. You shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let there more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein. Let them not regard vain words." You see, this shows us that Pharaoh misunderstood Moses' message from God. He says, "Go get the materials yourself. We'll no longer bring the stuff to you." And this wrong response clearly brought a lot of hurt to Israel. And while the harder work no doubt affected Israel's day, this extra work and harder work affected their attitude. And this, I think, is a natural response. And so verse 15 tells us Israel's leaders asked why Pharaoh was treating them this way. "Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants?" You know, they're like, "Why treat us like this? What did we do wrong?" Right? I mean, they weren't in the meeting between Moses, Aaron, and Pharaoh, so this change definitely threw them off. I mean, they couldn't do the same work without the help. It just wasn't possible. In fact, the end of verse 16 says, "There's no straw given unto us thy servants, and they say unto us, make brick. And behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people." You know, they kind of blamed the Egyptians. They weren't helping to get the materials anymore, and they were beating them. So clearly that's a problem, right? That would affect our day's accomplishments, our day's goals and objectives, right? So maybe blaming the leader wasn't the best way to go. But Pharaoh responds, and he's like, "You're the ones who want to get out of here, so I'm here to make sure you're too busy to even think about leaving." And once Israel realizes Pharaoh's attitude has changed toward them, they knew it was a bad situation. They head back home knowing it was not going to be easier, nothing was going to change. And then they realize they see Moses, right? And they realize, hey, it's Moses' fault. I don't know how they saw it or what happened, or maybe Moses was about to go back to Pharaoh to give him another chance to do this, or maybe they saw them, Moses saw them discouraged, like, hey guys, don't worry, God's going to get us out, right? He's going to take us away. And then it tells us, hey, you're right, it's Moses' fault. Verse 21 tells us their attitude changes, right? And they said unto them, "The Lord look upon you and judge." So clearly, this affected them, right? Life, you know, they were mad at Moses because they were like, well, life was so easy before you came and bothered us. And now look at what you did. So attitude definitely changed it. And even though a few days earlier, Israel was excited for the future, they were angry at Moses. And by extension, they were angry at God, because God sent Moses. But that said, Moses became pretty discouraged because everyone was against him. He prays to God and he blames God for this in verse 22, and he even challenges God a little bit at the end of verse 23. I know it sounds bad, but look at it. It says, "For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." You see, that's Moses kind of saying, "God, where are you? Why haven't you done anything yet?" He's blaming him. Yet God's not going to stand for this. God knows exactly what's going to happen, and he warned Moses it wasn't going to be easy. See, chapter 4, if you look back, is about convincing people to be a part of God's plan. Chapter 5, it kind of brings conflict or complications maybe to fulfilling God's plan. But chapter 6 tells us who is really in control of God's plan. And so God shows him and shows Moses and tells us, chapter 6, about who's really in control. So how does God do this? How does he show that he is in control of the situation? Well, he covers the whole context of the relationship. What do I mean? Well, he covers the past relationship, the present, and thankfully there's a future in our relationship with God. And so first, verses 3 and 4 give us the past relationship with God and with Israel. It says, God spake unto Moses in verse 2 and said unto him, "I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them, and I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of the pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers." You see, God is the one who appeared to Abraham. He chose these men out of the whole world, and not only did God appear unto them, verse 4 reminds Moses of God's promise. God had a land for his people. That's why God wanted Moses to bring them out of a land to a land. And so verse 4 reminds Moses of it, and God has a plan for them, and God's going to give them the land. You see, God's promises never run out. They never expire, and his people just need to stay patient and faithful to what God has in store, because God's not done. And verse 5 shows that God is definitely a personal God, because it says, "And I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant." God cares about us, and he has a plan, and this is a present part of his relationship with Israel. He heard his people's prayer way back in Exodus 2. He's said that multiple times. And even though he's repeated it, he's trying to remind us and remind Moses that God's plan is still at work. And verse 6 gives us a bright future for Israel. Yeah, verse 6 says, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments." See, I like how God specifies Israel's complaint in verse 6. Now, if you go back from this morning and a couple chapters in chapter 2, they were pretty specific in their prayers. Because of the bondage, they groaned unto God, right? They prayed to God finally because of that. And God specifically talks about that in verse 6, that "I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage." So God obviously sees what's happening, and God is going to give the exact remedy to fix the situation. God promises to redeem them, bring them out to land, take care of them. They can trust God because God has never failed in the past. And we know God can't fail. He is perfect. He will bring them into the new land. After all, look at verse 8. It says, "I will bring you into the land." It's pretty good, amen. Bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I'll give it to you for an heritage." And just in case anyone wanted to question it, God finishes off, "I am the Lord." Tonight, we have seen how quickly our spiritual excitement can go away. I mean, it happened to Israel. And remember, we're no better than they are. And while they had a good response at the beginning, they allowed the world's response to the truth affect their attitude, affect how they responded. And that's not what God wanted. Yes, we live in the world, no doubt about it. And we are obviously affected in our attitude in many ways. But we can't be surprised when the world reacts the wrong way. That's who they are. They are the world. Excuse me. But God wants us to be faithful no matter what. God has a plan for us. He has a promise. No, we don't know how it's going to be done. But I'm thankful that God can be trusted. God fulfilled his promises to Israel. And even though we're just about to begin the miracles and the plagues that God's going to send and the miracles he's going to perform, even though we haven't seen how they get to the land, we have the end of the book, amen. We have the end. We know what's going to happen. You know, we have the truth. We have God's word. You see, the right response to God's words, the right response, it gives hope. It gives hope to everyone. That's what happened whenever in chapter 4, when Aaron and Moses told them about it, they believed and worshipped. But sadly, the wrong response can bring a hurt. And unfortunately, Pharaoh responded in the wrong way, right? He misunderstood it. He thought they were trying to get out of work. And so they made life harder. And since he responded wrong, it affected the people of Israel and how they worked. And since they were affected, they responded incorrectly and in the wrong way. And it affected Moses, who was the leader who God sent there. And that affected his attitude. You see, the wrong response to the truth affects everyone eventually. It wears on people. You see, but not only does the wrong response hurt us as individuals, but more importantly, our wrong response to truth, our wrong response will hurt God's work. Yet the choice is ours. We have a future, whether it could be a good, godly future or a negative future filled with turmoil and trials without God's help. I mean, we're all going to have problems, I admit that. But however, as long as we pray and seek God's best for our lives, God will bring us through any situation. He knows how to remedy any problems. He said that in verse 6. He talked about the specific problem Israel prayed about. Well, God can answer any specific prayer we have. God will take care of us. We serve a personal God who can do anything. We serve a personal God who can do anything. So let's do our best to make sure we remain sensitive to what God wants, because God has a plan. But he's not going to push us. We need to be patient and be obedient. And I promise it will be worth it if we, as long as God's people stay faithful, it's going to be worth it. Remember, God gives us a hope that goes beyond any hurt the world may throw at us. But it's all about our attitude. So, this evening, who affects your attitude more? The world or the things of God? The answer will determine our response to God's word, to God's directions. So, let me encourage you. Let's respond the right way to see what God can do with Victory Baptist Church. Let's pray.